There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den. My name is Sean Wolfswinkel.
Hey everyone, I'm Joni Wolfswinkel. Hope you're having a great week.
Yes, I hope you have a lot more energy than I do today. So you're going to have to carry us through this. But it's been a challenging week.
That's what 2020 is all about, full of challenges.
It seems like I say that every episode.
It's okay though. We just pick ourselves up and keep going, right?
Exactly. So definitely, when I have conversations with people and one-on-one strategy sessions and stuff, it's just like that seems to be there's so many challenges this year. Yeah. So many things that you just never encountered.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it's change, you know, like we have to embrace the change. It's not going to be how it used to be, and that's okay. You just have to adapt.
Yeah, embrace the suck.
Mm-hmm. So. Embrace the suck.
But yeah, no, on that note, I just think I wanted to share something, and, you know, I don't know what everybody's going through out there, and I hope, you know, if this isn't for you, then you don't have to listen to it. But if it is, it's been challenging for myself even. I mean, as we're recording this, you know, we're preparing for a hurricane to come to our region where obviously COVID and the pandemic, and you got just all these challenging times and additional stress that you maybe weren't prepared for, or on top of everything else in life. And it just, you know, it's been tough. It's been, you can't travel, you're home more, so you're around indoors with your family more. There's just constant like stress, and you can't travel to do anything about it. You can't.
I think a lot of it too is distractions, you know, like there's just constant distractions. But we prepare ourselves, and, you know, a lot of our staff listens to this podcast, and we have to be the leaders and set the example for them as well.
I agree. What I was getting at was those people that, if there's anybody out there struggling and hurting right now, I think just know that you are special, that you are worthy. Mm-hmm. And if you need somebody to talk to, you're welcome to reach out to me. I'd be happy to, you know, have a conversation. I'm not a therapist or anything, but I'd be happy to be a friend and just be an open ear. So if you're hurting, just know that you are, there's somebody out there that will help you get through it. And you are worthy to be here on earth. So just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, well said.
Well, today we're going to talk about rental real estate. And so this is a topic that we've been, is the center, the core around everything.
Business,
everything but our plumbing company that we own. But even within that, it's the plumbing company services our rental properties.
Right.
So it still involves in that. But so, I mean, that's the premise behind our companies. And so we wanted to talk to you a lot about rental real estate today, why you and I personally believe heavily we use it as an investment vehicle for ourselves, and why we back it so much.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. I mean, if you look back at some of the podcasts earlier on, I mean, our story, we started at 19 years old. So I think we bought our first rental property around that time. So it's definitely, we've had some, you know, challenges throughout that process and learning experiences. But it's all in all, it's been great.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you really study, wealth and people that have accumulated a lot of wealth, a lot of them hold their wealth in real estate, or they've made their wealth in real estate. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an important vehicle, and it's something to talk about. So mm-hmm. just, you had some notes. Before we get into the actual types and how to do it and all that, talk about like the mindset and some of the stuff behind it.
Well, I think it's important that, you know, if you're married, or you have a partner, you're in a relationship, I think it's important that you and your spouse and your significant other are on the same page when it comes to investing in real estate. I mean, I think we get that a lot where we get couples that are just, you know, maybe the husband's into real estate investing, but then the wife isn't, and then it just creates problems, right? I mean, we were there at one time. I remember, you know, when we first started out in real estate and you were watching these infomercial shows and spending all your college money on all these courses. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing? Yeah. So I had to quickly, you know, get with you and create that vision, which I think that's the next step as well, is creating a vision for your family. And what that looks like for you, and you know, some of the questions that you might want to be asking yourself is, you know, what's your why? Why are you investing in real estate? And when we started, it was, you know, we wanted to create a business. We wanted to flip houses to create cash. But our why today is a little different, and you know, we are looking for retirement, and that's what our rental properties are going to do for us, right? Also, another question you could be asking is, what kind of life do you want to design for yourself? Right? When do you want to retire, and what does retirement look like for you? So these are some questions that you can be asking yourself.
And I think, like, I had a good conversation with a client earlier today, and for him, it was, you know, he's aging retirement years, and he's 6 years away, and yes, he has a decent stock portfolio, mm-hmm. but he was looking into buying rental real estate to diversify, but also to just to reassure or re-strengthen his portfolio, mm-hmm. so that he made sure, you know, if something happened in the stock market or something, you know, he had that extra cash flow and wealth and property value that he could sell, or he could live off the cash flow just in case he needed to. Mm-hmm. And then if nothing else, if he doesn't need it, it's legacy wealth that he can pass it on to his kids and his children's benefit. Yeah. So, and you see that a lot. You see, you know, a lot of real estate passing on from, you know, heirs, and a lot of times it's not in a good situation because they're banking on that. But there's also, it does create that legacy wealth and helping. And I think if you teach your kids about how to, you know, why you're investing in real estate, and get your children involved and let them see the cash flow, and them managing it, and them seeing the monthly reports, they start to understand it and start to comprehend why you're doing it, what you're trying to accomplish. And then they'll build on that portfolio once you pass.
I agree. So yeah, the first step, you know, creating a vision for yourself and then setting the goals, and my SMART acronym, you know, be specific with them: measurable, attainable, realistic, and then, you know, put a date on it.
Yeah. So. Awesome. So some of the real estate investments that you can get involved in are, you know, there's obviously single family homes, which is something that we specialize in, multifamily, which, you know, we specialize in small multifamily units. So probably like under 40 units. And then there's obviously commercial, larger multifamily projects, land, parking lots, mobile home parks, Airbnbs is another one. And we're not going to get into all those. There's a lot of ways to make money in real estate. And, you know, we're going to just focus on like single family or small apartment complexes.
Yeah. And I think it's important that you find your niche as well. I mean, cause we've done it all. We've done the, you know, multifamily, we've done the single family, we own a self storage complex and commercial buildings. So you really have to find what your niche is. And, I think after all these years of 20 years of investing, single family was our niche. Mm-hmm. We, you know, got really good at doing single family.
Correct. And no matter where you, whatever area you focus in, like you said, just get really focused, specialize in it, and then and become an expert in it. Right. And that's what we've done. And we still own a lot of different types of these, but really we're experts only in single family and multifamily. Yes. And then from there, you know, as far as, you know, our investments and focus, you know, we have invested alongside of our clients. So we're investing in single families and multifamilies and got a nice rental portfolio. But why are we focused in that? Why are we, that was our niche, that was our retirement. Why are we not taking all our money and putting it in the stock market? Again, it's because we're experts in this industry. It's the focus of our business. We don't understand probably stocks and bonds and insurance vehicles. We spent the last 20 years perfecting single family, what to look for, and
And even in the down, I remember, you know, when we talked about in 2010, when we weren't able to sell, we were flipping houses and we weren't able to sell some of them, and we ended up renting them. And those became some of our best properties today.
Yeah. And in the key behind investing in real estate, no matter what project type of vehicle you do in real estate, is it's a long-term game.
Right.
And I don't, there's, yes, you hear about people getting rich quick and you see all the stuff on social media these days and you see the infomercials and everything. But realistically, if you truly want to get wealthy in this, it's a long,
long-term
play.
Yes.
Yeah. And like Joni said, is some of our best deals that Joni and I have done, that's we've traded up into larger projects and commercial buildings and stuff. There were some properties that we were probably overvalued. We owed more on the property than what it was worth at that time, but we just rented it, held it for 15 years. And then we've seen those properties double in value. We paid down the mortgage over that period of time. And that's where we've created our true wealth.
Absolutely. But,
yeah. So again, it's a long-term play. This is very slow. You're not going to get rich quick. And know that going into it. So when you're talking about your strategy and working with your spouse, understand that they're going to have to be comfortable, unless you have extra money just sitting aside and you want to pull it out and use that. But typically you're going to use debt to acquire the property. So and your spouse or significant others got to get comfortable with taking on more debt.
Right. And there's going to be expenses when it comes to, and we'll get, I think we're going to do that next episode on the property management side. So, you know, they got to get comfortable with that as well, as they have to invest some money in it.
Correct. And know that it's good debt. And we're I think when I very first or early in my real estate career was I got into the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books by Robert Kiyosaki. Right. I think those are great reads. I think those are great higher level concepts. And so definitely if you haven't read it, I would definitely recommend just to get the scenario of investing in real estate and why and focus on it. But yes, it's taking advantage of good debt to acquire assets, then that will, the tenants will be paying for that debt. So it's not like you're coming out of your own pocket, like your home mortgage or something like that.
Right.
We love it because number one, like we said, we can leverage it, is why we like it so much. You know, we do take advantage of leverage to acquire our assets, and then we work on paying that down. It's insurable. So we are able to insure our assets. So, you know, we have hurricanes approaching us and that's always a threat. And
I know we've been there, done that. I remember having a, remember a property that I think during Hurricane Ike, where the hurricane was coming through and tree fell in it, got a new roof out of it. Needed it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that happens, but yeah,
it happens.
We had a tree fall, in Hurricane Ike, a tree just went right through the middle of the house and just, but we rebuilt it, the insurance paid for it. We got a new roof. And it's all insurable. Mm-hmm. So it still holds its value. And you don't lose any of your wealth through the, through that. So that's why we like it. We can insure against, you know, vandalism, theft, natural disasters. And then the next thing is cash flow. Yeah. So we like, the monthly cash flow. Joni and I are, you know, we're at a stage in our lives where we don't need the cash flow. So, you know, we choose to use that cash flow to either reinvest into and acquire more
properties,
or we reinvest to pay down.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have to live off the cash flow right now, but at some point we probably will need to.
An appreciation.
Yeah. We take it exactly. We've done, where we've seen our greatest wealth created has been through appreciation and debt pay down.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't, you know, you don't bank on appreciation because that's more speculation. So if you're investing in buying a property and hoping that in 6 months it's worth, you know, 30 or 40,000 more, there's a lot of people that lost a lot of money that way. So that's not, yes.
You don't buy off speculation.
Yeah. You don't, you're not just banking on that. You're still banking good fundamental principles that the cash flow's got to pay for the debt service and have repair allowances and vacancy allowances. You got to be able to cover all the expenses on the home. And then, you know, we hope that the home appreciates over time, which historically it should, you know, with the government, the way they're spending these days, especially to get through the pandemic and everything like that, you can assume that we're going to have inflation, you know, and increased inflation, which again, real estate's one of those investment vehicles that keeps up with inflation. So again, as that's happening and the value of the dollar is lowering, your assets are appreciating and you're building more wealth. Depreciation. So, you know, getting a, and just to preface this, we're not accountants or attorneys, so please seek legal or professional advice before doing all this. But, you know, Joni and I are able to take advantage of cost segregation on our rentals. So years that we have a lot of earned income from our companies, we use our rentals to cost segregate, where we're able to write off quite a bit of money off our taxes. And so that really has helped us over the years. And then you can also, if you pay down them over time, you can refinance them and pull money out tax-free, which is another strategy that a lot of people take advantage. So say you don't want to have free and clear rentals and you want to have a mortgage against it, you can always pull that money out to go and invest in other vehicles. And the nice part about real estate is you, especially right now in today's times, you can get very low interest rates secured against real estate. So it's one of those investment vehicles where it's very banker friendly and you can take advantage of very, very low interest rates that, you know, if you're either to purchase the property or to refinance and pull money out and then use that to reinvest and grow your wealth that way. Forced appreciation. So, you know, as far as for Joni and I, we've taken advantage of this on a lot of our personal rentals is forced appreciation. So what that means is we have bought a property, made improvements to that property or changed, maybe turned it in from a single family to a duplex. So we created a different asset class for it and then, you know, rented it, but we've increased the value by either improving it, making modifications to it, buying a lot and building on it, you know, and creating that equity that way. So those are all different ways you can create forced appreciation is you don't need the appreciation to happen over time. You create it by improving the property or changing the valuation of the property by making modifications. What else? There's options for selling, you know, when you're ready to sell and liquidate the assets. The nice part about real estate is you're able to sell to either to other investors or what we love to do, especially in the single family and small multi-unit market, is we can sell to homeowners.
Right. And that's why I like single families is, you know, and we tell our investors all the time, if you need to get out, you can get out with, you know, putting it on the market and either selling to a homeowner or an investor.
Correct. And the nice part about, selling to a homeowner is you can sell it to them at full retail value. Mm-hmm. And usually there's emotions tied to it. Yes. So the nice thing about real estate is it gets, especially when homeowners, there's emotional attachment where other investment vehicles, maybe like gold or all that, there's no, unless they're wearing the gold chain or something, there's no emotional, you know, attachment to the property. So where in homes, you know, they're living there, it's going to be their home. They may pay more because of the street it's on, or they may pay more because they love the pool or the beautiful kitchen or whatever. And so you get this emotional attachment.
Yeah. Even our residents, I mean, they've, you know, been residents for years and they're finally able to buy a home, you know, and a lot of them end up purchasing the home that they were renting.
Correct.
Yeah.
Another point is we love to the idea of retiring on cash flow from real estate. Mm-hmm. And you don't, the nice part is it's kind of, you know, like investing in stocks or if you're having to withdraw from those, you know, you're going to be depleting your, unless you're just living off the interest, but with rental property, you can live off the cash flow and the value of your home never goes down. So it's like, it just keeps printing out money if once it's paid for and you can live off the cash flow that way. Mm-hmm. It's great an asset for estate planning and, you know, and tax planning. So you can do 1031s out of it. So if it's appreciated really well, which we have a ton of clients in like California, for example, they'll sell a home that has appreciated or doubled in value over the last several years. And then they take that and buy property here.
Yep.
So they can do a 1031 tax exchange. They defer paying the taxes until they sell the next property. Seek counsel on that. You know, there's several, reach out to us. We can give you several recommendations for 1031 agents. But that's another way to take advantage of estate planning. They can put it in a trust and then have your kids be the beneficiary of the trust. And they don't have to, you know, pay taxes until they start taking distributions or selling off some of those assets or taking money out of the trust. So real estate's a great vehicle for, you know, all those different reasons we just stated. Right. So
let's talk about some of the things that we look for when purchasing rental properties. So I think the first thing is neighborhoods. I mean, for you and I, we predominantly look in, you know, owner-occupied neighborhoods, that magic 80-20 rule, right, where there's 80% homeowners, 20% residents. I think we do that because when we're ready to sell, you know, chances are we're going to be able to sell in a predominantly owner-occupied neighborhood.
Correct.
So, and then, of course, schools is important. Yes, you are buying for cash flow, but again, when you are ready to sell, it's important if you're in a good school district.
Correct. That's what homeowners are looking for, for their kids and all that. So you're always thinking downturn and downline, like who is going to be, yes, you're buying for cash flow and assets it's going to appreciate, but then you're looking at where am I also going to sell? Who am I going to sell this to down the road? And
absolutely.
So you're looking at that.
Yeah. And job markets, you know, locations where there's growing employment opportunities, which attract more residents.
And I think this point, if you're looking to invest in other states outside of where you live, this is
that's crucial.
Yeah, you got to see employment growth and population growth.
Absolutely.
Because those are you want to invest in a market that is growing, and wherever the jobs are going, that's where people are going.
Right.
So the people that need homes. So always be looking for that when you're investing out of state.
Yep. And then amenities such as parks, restaurants, gyms, you know, things where people are spending most of their time at. Mm-hmm. Future development, if there's a lot of construction going on, that's a good sign of growth as well. Number of listings and vacancies. If it's, you know, there's a lot of vacancies out there and a lot of listings, and it could be a declining neighborhood.
Correct.
Right. Average rents. Are you bringing enough income in to, you know, pay your mortgage, your taxes, your insurance, and you have the extra cash flow as well that you're looking for.
Correct. So that was the, you know, a good intro into rental real estate. I think we're going to have future episodes and maybe taking it even a step further, but join us next week because it's going to be fun because we're going to not take it a step further because we're going to talk about either self-managing rental properties or hiring third-party property management.
Right, so, self-managing versus hiring a third party.
So. Yeah, so and this is always a debatable debatable topic, and you know, you get both sides of it. And so it should be fun talking about the, you know, the different stories and how we look at it and how, you know, so once you've acquired something, who's going to manage it and who's going to do the day-to-day operations? So we'll get into that next week. Stay tuned and have a great week.
See you, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.